Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Thursday, the 19th of December. And our top story today is that Southern Water customers in Kent are going to see a 53% rise in bills over the next 5 years. It's the biggest increase announced today by the regulator. Thames Water have been allowed to put bills up by 35%. South East Water will get a 24% hike. And for Affinity, which serves part of the Kent coast, it's 26%. We're being promised all of this cash is going to pay for substantial improvements. Now, we did ask Southern Water for an interview, but they've sent us this statement instead from their CEO, Lawrence Gosden.
We note Ofwat's publication of its final determination for 2025-2030. It's important we take time now to review all the detail carefully as we seek to understand the level of support the regulator has shown for our ambitious investment plan. We're very conscious that a rise in bills isn't easy for our customers, essential though it is to delivering the improved performance and infrastructure that's required. So we're significantly expanding the wide range of support available for those customers who are most in need. Our plan was driven by the views of thousands of Southern Water customers. That's why we need to be sure that what's been set out in Ofwat's final determination meets the expectations of our communities in protecting the environment and building a truly resilient network for future generations. We'll say more about Ofwat's final determination in due course.
As you heard there, it's the regulator Ofwat who've made the decision over bills. Chris Walters is the senior director of the price review.
We need record levels of investment to safeguard the health of our rivers, our seas and our waterways, to improve the resilience of our water supplies and to get companies to really raise their game on day-to-day performance in areas that matter for customers and the environment. We are introducing controls in our decisions today to ensure that customers' money is only used for investment. It is ring-fenced. It cannot be used for example, unwarranted dividends or unwarranted bonuses. If it's not used for investment or if the benefits of that investment don't materialise, it will be automatically clawed back and return to customers.
Now, Southern Water had actually asked to increase bills by 83%, but that request was denied and brought down to 53% instead. You may remember in 2021, the company was fined a record £90 million for dumping raw sewage into seas and rivers in Kent. So let's get further reaction to this bill hike from Sally Burt-Jones. She's from Clean Water Campaign Group SOS Whitstable and has been speaking to Kate.
These bill increases are outrageous, and it's just, you know, another symbol of the kind of failure of privatisation. I think over the last 5 years, we've seen, you know, crumbling infrastructure, sewage pollution. We've seen mountains and mountains of debts kind of built up by these water companies. And obviously now we're seeing, you know, huge amounts of sewage in our waterways. To us, it's just an indication, another indication that privatisation has failed and we need to take profit out of the industry and bring it back into public ownership.
The company do say that obviously any money that they do raise from the increased charges are going to go back into the system so that they can improve infrastructure. But is it the right system? As you said, you're looking to nationalize the water companies again. Is this system just wrong? Is it failing people from top to bottom?
Yeah, I mean, we think so. And we've already paid for this over the last 30 years. You know, we've been paying our bills religiously every month, all of us. And, you know, every year the water companies have to submit their, you know, accounts to Ofwat, and, you know, the Environment Agency keeps track of everything. And, you know, unfortunately, this has been a catalogue of failures by, you know, the government, by the Environment Agency, by Ofwat and by the water companies who have allowed this, you know, scam to continue for such a long time. We say that there's absolutely no point in throwing more good money after bad. The water companies have, you know, they've taken the money. They've told everyone that their infrastructure is in good condition. It's clearly not. It's just time to end the whole joke of it all.
And as you say, it is the people that are sort of bearing the brunt of this. Not only are we going to have to pay more for our water, there's public waterways and places that we used to be able to swim that we can't swim in anymore because of water pollution. This is just another kick in the guts, really, to the people that pay their bills.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're in a cost of living crisis at the moment. Everyone's struggling for money. We're just coming up to Christmas, and it really does feel like, you know, a bit of a kick in the teeth. 7 days away from, you know, Christmas and New Year's celebrations to be told that, you know, we haven't got got a timeline for improvements. We don't know when, you know, the sewage pollution is going to end. You know, there's no commitments from the water companies or from Southern Water to say by this date with this investment, this won't be happening anymore. Things are getting worse every year. You know, we saw a huge increase 2023 over 2022. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what comes back in terms of the data for 2024. But we've had a lot of rain this year, and no doubt that will be their excuse for, you know, releasing a lot more sewage out into our waterways.
I think a lot of people are feeling this morning is that there's been no accountability from the water companies. They've just sort of been allowed to raise their prices and sort of get away with whatever they are getting away with. Would you like to see them to be held more to account?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things we've been working towards over the last 2.5 years of our campaigning is just keeping this topic in the public domain and making sure that, you know, this with public scrutiny, that the water companies will be ultimately held accountable. So, you know, today we're part of 4 or 5 different campaigning groups all around the country have got together as a sewage campaign network. And if you find our website, you'll also find an email your MP option there. So you can put your postcode in. It will tell you who your local MP is. We've pre-populated an email that you can send. And, you know, MPs are off for Christmas now. We would really like them to come back to thousands and thousands of angry emails in the new year, and make sure that, you know, they do their jobs ultimately to hold the water companies to account. There's a water bill, the Water Special Measures Bill, which is going through the Commons at the moment. We don't think it's strong enough. We're kind of campaigning for a clause to be added to that, which would stop the public from bailing out these water companies again in the future, because that's currently possible. There's also a water commission that's been set up, but unfortunately it's only looking at the regulation of the industry and not at different ownership models. When you look around Europe, you know, we are the only country with a privatized water system, and everywhere else in Europe, you know, people are paying a lot less and receiving a lot more and a lot less pollution. So, you know, change has to come, but it won't come without public demand. So, yeah, today we would really love to see as many people as possible send off emails to their MPs expressing their anger about these bill increases and asking their MPs to make sure that, you know, there's more scrutiny from the government and these bill increases don't happen until all of the water companies' finances have been investigated properly.
Now, you can let us know what you think today by commenting on the story at Kent Online or via our socials.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and a man in his 50s has died after being hit by a lorry on the M25. The motorway was closed clockwise from Junction 3 for Swanley and Junction 4 for Orpington yesterday. The victim was pronounced dead at the scene. A Kent farmer's died after choking on food while out for a meal. David Deem, who used to run Chegworth Valley near Harrietsham, passed away after being rushed to the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford earlier this month. An incredibly sad story. Well, Lucy joins me now, and the 77-year-old's family have paid tribute, Lucy.
Yes, they've described David as kind and well-respected. He was married to wife Linda for 41 years. She's told us his whole passion was about farming, being outside and seeing things happen, like planting orchards, picking apples, pruning trees and growing new things like strawberries, raspberries and blackberries. We're told David's love for farming came from spending summers on his uncle's fruit farms as a teenager. In 1983, he bought Water Lane Farm in Harrietsham. After starting off with chickens, grain and vegetables, they moved into fruit farming and juice making and started the Chegworth Valley Drinks Company in 1997. David had been diagnosed with Parkinson's 12 years ago, but still enjoyed holidays abroad and walks around the orchards. The family say funeral details will be confirmed at a later date. A full inquest will take place in February next year.
Thanks ever so much, Lucy. Our thoughts are very much with David's family. The speed limit on Sheppey Road is going to be cut following the deaths of 2 people in the last 5 years. Marine Parade between the Yacht Club and Barton's Point Coastal Park used to be 40 miles per hour. It's being reduced to 30, although could take 6 months to bring into force. A woman's been injured while trying to rescue her 5-month-old puppy from a dog attack in Deal. Heather Wood was walking her Cocker Spaniel near Sandown Castle on December the 10th when 2 larger dogs attacked him. She suffered puncture wounds on her hands. The puppy had only minor injuries. Police have told us they're investigating. Meantime, Jack Russell's died following a dog attack in Medway. We're told Charlie was set upon by a Rottweiler-type dog in Fields in Cliff Woods. Despite having emergency surgery, he couldn't be saved. His owner also had to be treated treated for cuts to his hands. Police are also investigating that attack.
Kent Online reports.
A Deal man has been charged with criminal damage after a protester climbed the Trafalgar Square Christmas tree dressed as Santa. Police were called to the scene last Sunday during what's thought to have been a Fathers for Justice protest. 35-year-old Christopher Todd from Mill Hill is due to appear in court next month. Four Shoe Zone stores in Kent are set to close. The shops in Ashford, Folkestone, Herne Bay and Gillingham will be lost as part of the retailers' response to soaring wage costs. Eight others in the county will stay open. Now, a Medway GP has been telling us why he's against the idea of charging people a small fee to see a doctor. It's been suggested as a way to reduce the number of time wasters and unnecessary appointments that are made each day. Julian Spinks says some people who repeatedly make appointments actually have mental health issues or are lonely, which needs to be addressed separately. He's been speaking on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
One of the problems is that because of the bureaucracy, you've actually got to make sure that the amount you're charging them isn't actually going to cost the NHS something. Because I had someone say, well, you know, why don't you charge £5 to come to the GP? It would cost us more than £5 to process it. So, you know, you've got to watch that. I think there is a slight concern over particularly older people who are reluctant to come to us anyway. They don't want to be a bother. Maybe even further put off by some money. Having said that, yes, I get intensely frustrated by people who come in for trivial things. There is now things like NHS 111 that can give you advice whether you need to be seen and who you need to see. And I think that's important because before you can argue, well, how do you know what's serious and what isn't serious? So we've got to be careful. But the frequent flyers, my record was somebody who saw me 200 times in 1 year.
Oh, really?
And now, you know, it was almost like you came in every morning and that person was sitting there. It's very difficult to deal with that. Likewise, we've had patients who dial for the ambulance multiple times every day. And ultimately, we get the service getting onto us, can't you stop this person doing it? Well, short of sitting there or taking the phone away, we can't. And you do try and educate them, but some of those have got some sort of psychological problem.
Yeah.
Finally, you have got lonely people. We're going to the surgery and sitting, chatting to people in the waiting room and seeing their nice, friendly GP is actually one way of dealing with that.
And you can hear that episode of the podcast in full by searching for Kent Politics Podcast wherever you normally download your pods. The first part of a multi-million pound health facility meantime on Sheppey has opened so patients can have tests closer to home. The centre at the community hospital in Minster can now offer CT scans with MRIs being made available next year. It's set to benefit anyone living on the island and in nearby Sittingbourne.
Kent Online reports.
A charity that supports young asylum seekers in Kent is hoping to collect second-hand bikes to give them more freedom. Kent Refugee Action Network has distributed 50 to young people so far, but has a huge waiting list. They're encouraging anyone who gets a new bike for Christmas to consider donating the old one. Roshan Segai arrived in Kent from Eritrea and now works for CRAN.
One thing that we want to obviously provide that support for our young people, but also at the same time, we don't want to take their independence. Like, we don't want them to just to be only just being told, oh, take this or do this. We want them like to be like kind of independent of what, how they want to go and where they want to go. And I guess it's like having the taking the bus again. Like, for example, I was late today because I was just waiting for the bus for a long time. And believe me, I don't know how to ride a bike. But again, it's like it's just that kind of sense of freedom. They can go out like the park and then would enjoy with their friends. And so, as I said, the bike project is like the bike shed in Margate has been providing like absolutely amazing support for our young people. And just like we bring like a donated bike from our volunteers, like a local people who just donated for our young people. And we just take it there and then they've kind of fixed it. They do all the magic for that bike to be like absolutely new. So I guess it's just that kind of helping our young people to have independence, like freedom of where to wanted to go. And again, it's just like it might really huge change because they can just go to the college, they can go to I don't know, like to play sport, to play anything. It's just that kind of freedom for them. Like, and I guess it's just, especially for tradition, like culturally, like girls back home, we don't ride a bike. It's just something like really, and to see them like they're doing it now, it's just making like huge difference. And I guess that's why I said, like, I want to learn, like, how can you just teach me how to do it? And it's just like, as I said, it's small things, but it brings so much joy to them. It brings so much. I know the weather is bad now, but we're going to get over it like at some point. But after that, like especially in the summer, especially like to go around, and it's just it's really joy. And so that's why like we ask our like local people like to donate their old bike, and if donation as well, like money, because we wanted to provide our young people like a safe space rather than just to go around and then it's that. And again, like there is like lessons as well for the new one that who want to learn how to do it. So again, it's just we do our bit, but we need the support for our local people to help us as well.
And you mentioned there that you're collecting financial donations as well to kit the bikes out. You mentioned that, so they got lights and helmets. You're really indeed up on all the safety elements of it too.
Indeed, because anywhere like you have to have that kind of safety element before you run out and then just enjoy, but it's still like we wanted to keep them safe. So again, like donated financially, like you find our website, Crown website, and then you can just donate there. Like anything, any small thing, it bring a huge change to our young people.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like a wonderful project. And is it running after Christmas as well? So as you said, if someone gets a new bike for Christmas and then they've got an old one, they could donate it to you.
And believe me, we wanted to continue, like not just after Christmas, but the whole thing, because we see how it's bring change to our young people. But again, it's just we are limited in terms of like donation, in terms of like bikes, and in terms of like equipment. Therefore, like we ask for help from our local people. But again, it's just that it's still there. We have a long list for young people there who want it. And I guess it's just to see that one person is like riding a bike and can I have my own as well? Like we have young people that who comes that they want to do because they want to have that kind of freedom, I guess.
You can find details on how to donate the bikes by heading to the Cran website. Next today, an Ahern Bay woman says she warned local bosses a road sign was dangerously damaged before it fell down in strong winds. Shelley Burkett says it's lucky someone wasn't hurt when the sign in William Street fell from its fixing. Well, KCC has apologised. The sign was broken during high winds, but relieved no one was hurt. They say they haven't received any complaints or concerns about it, but a new sign will be installed as soon as possible. Plans have been submitted for a gaming and bingo place in Chatham. Wilson's Casino want to open in the former Cadset computer shop on the High Street, which closed recently over alleged links to an illegal cryptocurrency ATM business. If approved, it'll be the sixth gambling venue on a half-mile stretch of road and could open next spring. And data shows tourism in Medway has nearly returned to pre-pandemic levels. 4.8 million people visited the towns last year. That's up by more than a third since 2021.
Kent Online News.
It's been confirmed restaurant critic Grace Dent is going to be a judge on the next series of Celebrity MasterChef. It's after Greg Wallace stepped away from the programme following allegations of inappropriate behaviour. The 60-year-old who lives in Biddenden denies doing anything wrong. Invasive Pacific oysters have been discovered during a survey of wildlife on the Kent coast. Volunteers have been working at 9 sites, including Walpole Bay, Botany Bay and St Margaret's Bay, and recorded more than 160 different species in total. Well, the Kent Wildlife Trust say the findings will be used to push for something to be done to tackle ones that threaten local marine life. Staying with wildlife and more now on a goat that escaped from a nature reserve near Rochester 3 months ago. You may remember we told you in yesterday's podcast how MacGyver had suddenly returned. Kent Wildlife Trust rangers described it as a Christmas miracle. Well, Jessica Allam is the Wilder Grazing Ranger at the Kent Wildlife Trust, and she's been speaking to reporter Joe Cross.
Back in September, we had 15 goats at Waldham Common. It's closed to the public, so we didn't expect, you know, anything unusual to be there. And went to go check the goats as usual, and a volunteer said that there was not 15. So one of our area managers, Steve Weeks, he went there to go and, you know, check out the situation, and we realised he had got on the other side of the fence. So he hatched a plan to put some fencing stakes through the fence to try and give it sort of a bridge upwards to jump over the fence again. But yeah, it didn't work. So we thought, oh, maybe we'll try and, you know, get in there ourselves. We'll move the goats out. So we moved the other goats away, and we went in there ourselves. We definitely got pricked in there. It was very scratchy. There was loads of hawthorn and blackthorn in there. So it was a bit of a mission, but he still wouldn't come out. So we thought, you know what, we'll leave it. We'll come back and check him. And we checked him for a good few weeks afterwards, and we couldn't find him in the end. So, yeah, We asked our volunteers, you know, if you've got time, please go and see him. But you know, no use. And then 3 months later, last week, my trainee came and called me, and she was so excited. She was just like, he's back. You won't believe it. And yeah, I didn't believe it. I thought she was pulling my leg. But yeah, no, she sent me a picture, and he was staring at his brother just constantly for a good few minutes. So he was like, I can't believe you're back either.
You must have been a bit shocked by him suddenly reappearing one day after, like you say, months of him not being around.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people thought the worst. You know, they thought, oh, maybe he's gone down to the Peter's Village. Maybe he's wandered off into somebody else's garden field, you know, and, you know, you expect the worst. But yeah, no, he just for him to pop up out of the blue, I was like, no way.
With MacGyver, what sort of personality does he have? Is he quite a character, he's made these sorts of escape attempts before, or what sort of goat is he?
Well, I assume you've heard the saying, stubborn as an old goat. It's definitely what he's like. It's very difficult to get him to do what you want him to do, but yeah, overall, he's a really friendly goat, and he's very inquisitive, as we can tell. And all round, he's a really lovely goat, and we're glad to have him back.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and the new Ebbsfleet United boss says his bond with fans helped him make the decision to become manager. Josh Wright has taken over from Harry Watling, who left the club after a run of just one win in 13 National League games. They're currently bottom of the table. And in cricket, Australian Tom Rogers has agreed to rejoin Kent for next season's T20 Blast campaign. The all-rounder played in their second block of games in the shortest format of the game this year. He'll join fellow Aussie Wes Agar, who will be available for Kent between April and July. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content, but with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word, at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.